Some song. Well, again, we're wanting to celebrate the graduates tonight, and the Lord has laid this message on my heart. So if you would turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14. And I'll try to speak fast and you listen fast, and hopefully this message has had an impact on my heart. And I say this each year, but I mean it just as genuinely. This message is obviously for the seniors. I believe it will help everyone that's in here. But it's the message the Lord laid on my heart. And so I'll be speaking to each of y'all. And I hope that it's a help to you. Mark chapter 14, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, "Not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." For the next few moments, I just want to preach this message: a waste or a good work? A waste or a good work? Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you for the day you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. I pray that you would give me the words to say, that you would help me to speak what you have, that it would be a help to the seniors, help our lives to be changed through what we hear through this message tonight. And Lord, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. They've got me choked up today, so now I feel like my mouth is dry. A waste or a good work? We hear that a lot about waste, right? You might hear the, "Don't waste your time." We can spend a lot of time wasting it on things that don't necessarily matter. This one I know we've all heard: "Don't waste your food." And that's probably why I'm overweight. No, that's probably not it. But it's just that idea. I don't want to leave what's on my plate. I want to eat it. It's there. I might as well put it in my mouth and enjoy it, right? And you hear, "Don't waste your food." You think about, I remember when I was younger and we'd sit at the dinner table and or it might be lunch, supper. I want to make sure I get it right. I'm sorry, Pastor. But we might eat, for tonight's illustration, we might be eating at supper, and we're sitting there, and maybe I wasn't as excited about the vegetables my mom had put on my plate as I should have been. And so you do this, I don't know if anybody else has done this, but you take the food and you try and spread it around the plate to look like there's less on the plate. And my mom knew exactly what I was doing, and she'd say, "Don't waste your food. Eat your food." I believe our generation, sometimes it's looked at as a bad thing, but I believe teenagers and young people, they desire to make a difference. I'm reading a book called Screens and Teens, and that's one of the things they emphasize. And in our world today, there's a lot of the question of why, and I appreciate what Pastor said the other day. A lot of times the younger generation is not a negative. They want to do what's right. They want to live for the Lord, but I believe that. But a lot of times there's a lot of questions of why. Why do we do this, or what is the importance of this? And I think it's important for us to be able to give them an answer from God's Word. Another thing I really believe is that young people, and the stats prove it out, that they want to make a difference. They want to impact their world. And from our passage, we can see how do you make a lasting impact? And teens, I hope that you understand this. Seniors, friends, Matt, we're now friends, and we weren't before. We were enemies, and now we're friends. But how do you make a lasting impact? And as we go through this quickly, the first two verses, we've already read them, but just to kind of get us up to speed and make sure we understand the context of the passage, in verses 1 and 2, we see the consultation of the religious elite. And they're getting together. Jesus, it's getting close to him. He's going to give his life as a ransom. He's going to be put on a cross. He's going to be nailed to a cross. He's going to be buried. And then 3 days, praise the Lord, he's going to rise again from the dead. And what a wonderful thing is, that's why we come to church. That's why we're in church today, is because Jesus is no longer in the grave. He arose from the grave. But at this time, the religious elite, the scribes and the Pharisees, they are trying to get together, the chief priests and the scribes, and they're wanting to find a way to take Jesus. This took place during the Feast of the Passover, unleavened bread. We don't have time to really go into that, so we're going to keep going. And the point of this meeting was to find a way to arrest Jesus. But the Bible says they had to come up with a way that was crafty. In other words, they needed to deceive. They didn't want to be inconspicuous, that way the other people didn't realize what they were doing. They had to do it deceitfully. Because they said, if we do it out in the open, Jesus has such a following at this time that if we do that, there's going to be quite an uproar of the people. If we put in today's vernacular, they would say, man, he has more friends on Facebook or Instagram than we do. There's more people that like his posts on Twitter than that like ours. And so there's people that are following him. And so if we do this out in the open, they look at him as a good teacher, a great person. And so if we do it with everyone looking, there's going to be an uproar. So think of that as this setting is even taking place that we're going to get into this evening. So there's this consultation of the religious elite. And while this is taking place, Jesus is in the house of Simon the leper. And he's eating a dinner, supper, whatever time frame you want it to be. And while Jesus is eating, this woman comes up and she makes a costly decision according to the world standards. According to what the world would say, she made this very costly decision. We know from parallel passages, if you look at John, that this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. We know Lazarus was the one that he had died. He was the friend of Jesus, and he had been in the grave 4 days, who Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth, and he was raised from the dead. This is the Mary that this woman it's talking about here. And she approaches Jesus with an alabaster box. And inside this alabaster box is some ointment of spikenard. Now, it says here, very precious. This spikenard was very precious to her, both probably sentimentally, but even more importantly, we understand from a financial standpoint. According to commentators, this alabaster box of spikenard was costly, almost about a year's worth of wages for this individual, for Mary, the sister of Lazarus. And she takes this box of ointment, and she breaks it, and she pours it on the head of Jesus. What an amazing tell of her devotion that was to Jesus as she pours out this entire bottle on his head. It's important to understand historically, during the Bible times and the times of Jesus Christ, that when someone would come into their home, they might, because this stuff was so expensive, they might take a little dot and they might anoint someone's head with just a dab of it because it was so important. But here Mary, she shows her total devotion to Jesus Christ, and she takes the entire box, this alabaster box of ointment, and she breaks this costly ointment over Jesus' head, and it runs down his head. It was a costly decision that she had made. Mary showed her total devotion to her Lord and pours this entire bottle on his head. When Mary poured this ointment on Jesus, there were those that were in the crowd that were very displeased with Mary's costly decision. They looked at her, and they, instead of being like, wow, this is amazing devotion to Jesus, instead of that attitude, what happens is they get very upset. And in fact, it says in verse 4, there were some that had indignation. They were angry. They were furious. They weren't just sort of and kind of displeased. They had this indignation towards Mary for her decision. And this was so bad inside of these people, this indignation that they had, that they couldn't even keep it in anymore. They had to speak out and say something. They couldn't believe what had happened. They said things like this: Why did she make such a waste? In other words, I'm glad you're devoted to Jesus, but don't you think this is a little extreme? Don't you think this is going a little too far? Don't you think this might be just a little too excessive, this devotion that you have? Let's just be honest about it. Mary, your decision, that was absolutely crazy and insane for you to do that. Time out just real quick. I want you to realize, and I want you to understand this. There's going to be times in your journey as a Christian that even some people that claim to be a Christian, they're going to look at you and think that if you're going to be truly devoted to Jesus Christ like Mary was, they're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think, wow, I get being devoted to Jesus, but come on now. Isn't this just a little too excessive? Isn't this just a little too extreme in your life? And they're going to question that. And it's at those moments you're going to have to know what God's word. And I'm here to tell you, I don't care what university you go to. I don't care if it's a secular college or a Christian college. There are going to be people there that are going to cause you. And if you don't know what God's word says, question what you believe. And you better know what you believe. And a devoted Christian is looked at as someone that is crazy or insane because they desire to do and make an impact like Mary wanted to make an impact here. But I love, and I want you to get this, I love, and you're going to have to be careful about these people in your life as well, that they'll want to spiritualize their lack of devotion to Jesus. They're going to want to spiritualize it. I think of the Old Testament story where there was a prophet, and he's supposed to go to the king, and he's supposed to tell him, look, you're not making decisions according to God's word, and there's going to be judgment. And he does what God says. He goes before the king, which you would think would be the hardest thing, and he goes before him and says, look, king, you've been doing bad things. You've been doing things that don't please God, and there's going to be consequences. The king wants him to tarry. He says, no, I've got to get back on my way. He gets going on his way, and a prophet, an older prophet, comes up and says, I know what the Lord told you, but let me tell you what the Lord told me. And because of that influence, because he knew what God wanted him to do, but because he listened to the person that wanted to spiritualize their lack of devotion, now he made a bad decision. He ends up getting eaten by a lion. Don't tell me the Bible's not exciting and interesting. But he gets eaten by a lion because why? He knew what God had said, but he chose to listen to someone that wanted to spiritualize their lack of devotion. Think about it. They say, think about how much this could have been sold for. Yeah, that's right. Let me tell you how much that could have been sold for. And we know in other passages that it's Judas Iscariot that says this, but it wasn't just him. There were others that were there that said the same thing. That could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Doesn't that sound great? Doesn't that sound amazing? Look, this could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. What a noble cause. But please understand this, teens. This is countercultural, but you need to understand this, that God has a greater concern for your personal devotion to Him than your monetary devotion to Him. He cares more about your personal devotion to Him than anything else. He has a greater concern for that. You say, why? Well, because if you have a personal devotion to Jesus Christ, the other things that He gives you that are monetary won't be hard to give back to Him because your devotion's to Him. You see, there's a passage. You see, a person that is devoted to Christ will naturally and willingly give monetarily. 2 Corinthians 8, 2 and 5 says, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty, they didn't even have much, but it abounded in the riches of their liberality. They still wanted to give. And then listen to this, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. Teenager, each and every day, young adult, realize God cares about a personal devotion to Him each and every day, because then everything else falls in line. God cares more that you show up for soul winning than He does that you give, that a person could go to the UK. And I'm excited that they're going to the UK, but I'm here to tell you, God would want you more out on outreach or being a testimony than He cares that you gave, that someone else could go. Don't ever forget that. We are to reach where we are. And seeing this caused them to murmur and to complain. But I'm here to tell you that if you stay devoted to Jesus Christ, Jesus always comes to your defense. Jesus comes to Mary's defense. He says statements like this, look, leave her alone. Like, what are you doing? Leave her alone. Makes another statement, why are you giving her trouble? And I think of preacher Brother Webster, stop it! That's what he always says if you've ever heard him preach very much. But just, why are you giving trouble? Why are you causing all this trouble? Why are you giving your grief? And why are you murmuring? And let me just tell you, to the everyone that's out here, for the young people that ask you a why, and you complain simply because they asked you a why instead of having an answer, let me encourage you, the next time that happens, why don't you as the adult know what God's Word says so that you might give an answer that it might be a help to them, to help them go forward in their walk with Jesus Christ. Instead of complaining, well, this generation, they're always wondering why, and they're blah, 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 stop it! And help them know what they believe so they can make a difference in our world. He says, stop it. She's doing this aforetime for my burial. If you remember, when Jesus was crucified, they weren't able to do all that. In fact, Mary, they were coming to the tomb to anoint His body, and He is risen. He is risen from the dead. But He says, she's doing this aforetime, preparing me for my burial. Almost messed that up. She hath done, listen to me. He makes another statement. She hath done what she could. Don't look at someone else and compare. Instead, just know God expects you to do what you can. God's not asking you to be where Pastor is right now. God is asking you to be where you are and continue your faith journey and your following of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's an encouragement to all of us. Just be what God wants you to be. Do what God wants you to do. Don't compare instead and compare to others, but just compare yourself to Jesus Christ and say, no one's close to where Jesus is. We're all very far away. We need to work on our relationship with Jesus Christ. But Jesus said she's done what she could. Make sure each and every day that we don't make excuses and we simply do what God has called us to do. So Jesus came to Mary's defense. And I'm here to tell you, you do what God wants you to do and He will always be there. Amen. Friends may forsake you. Family may forsake you when you want to have such devotion to Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you who will always be there. Jesus. I told a lady this morning, and she was saying, oh, man, I've been coming, I've been enjoying the services, and no complaints as of yet. And I said, well, as my Pastor Chadwick, who's here now, there's a face to the name I always use. But I remember when people would join, he would say this, look, I'm human, so I guarantee you I'm going to let you down at some point. And I may let you down, someone else may let you down, but I'm here to tell you, God will never let you down. And because of that, Mary made a lasting impact. Mary made a difference. Mary had a memorial after her. A memorial is that which preserves the memory of something. Anything that serves to keep in memory. And I want you to get what her memorial was. Mary's memorial, her act of devotion, and you can read in verse 9, her act of devotion to Jesus would be spoken of wherever the gospel would be preached throughout the whole world. I don't know if you get that, but I'm talking about like United States, South America, North, that is the United States. Well, that includes Canada. I'm horrible at geography, but you that are good at geography, you can correct me afterwards. But you think of everywhere, Asia and Africa. I mean, you just think of every remote, those places on the earth. And Jesus said, look, because she said, I wanted to make an impact and my devotion is fully to Jesus Christ. God said, look, everywhere that message is preached, everywhere the gospel is preached, there's going to be a memorial to her of her devotion to Jesus Christ. because things in your life, they come and they go. Things that are new fade, and they're 2 days later, they're not. No one even wants them. You know, that we're on like iPhone 2 million or something. I don't know what it is at this point, but it's incredible. But I'm here to tell you, if you want to make a lasting impact, do what Mary did. Well, what did Mary do? I've always told them, when I study out a message, we are taught, look for the CIT, the central idea of the text. What is this text trying to say to us? And I'm here to tell you, the question and the central idea of this text is, how did Mary leave a lasting memorial for future generations? How did she do that? Mary left a lasting memorial by living her life with total devotion to Jesus Christ. Mary made a lasting impact for future generations because she lived her life totally devoted to Jesus Christ. Seniors, live a life devoted to Christ, and you will leave a godly memorial for future generations. Live a life devoted to Him, and you will make a lasting impact that'll last for future generations. As I finish up, I knew I didn't have much time, so I had to condense it down. But I told them this quote before I even came in. But I went to my nephew graduated last night, and the preacher there said this quote, and it's one of those quotes that I don't even have to think about it. You know, it's going to stay with me the rest of my life. But I'll probably read it just so I don't mess it up. And this goes for everyone in here. Life is not made of the dreams you dream, but of the choices you make. You can have a destination. You can say, I want to end and be the Christian God wants me to be. But young people, please listen to me. And there's so many pulls in the world today. If you don't make the choices to make that happen, don't think it's just going to naturally happen. Don't think I want to be the Christian God wants me. Don't think I'm going to be the wife or the husband that God wants me to be. Don't think I'm going to be the Christian God wants me to be and then make the foolish decisions that keep that from happening. Because life is not about the dreams that you have, but the choices you make. And I want to encourage you, seniors, live a life that is devoted to Jesus Christ, and I promise you, you'll make a lasting difference for future generations. Let's all stand and we'll pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I thank you for your word and how it made a difference in my life, and I pray that you would use it in the senior's life. I hope it was a help to those that are here as well. Lord, may you be honored and glorified. And Lord, we just pray, help us, all of us. It doesn't matter if we've messed up in the past. I don't know everybody, not just being the seniors, I don't know everybody that's in here in their personal life, but Lord, maybe someone says, man, I've just messed up so bad, there's no way for me to make a difference for future generations. Well, may they stop believing the lie of Satan and get up and get going for Jesus Christ to make the difference from this day forward that you desire. And Lord, help us to make a difference by being totally devoted to you, saying, Jesus, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. And Father, we'll praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. As the piano plays, as the invitation, if you would like to spend some time with the Lord, do that at this time.